Christy felt her hair flex and curl.
Something is wrong here. Do you think we could be standing on a...
Then the sound came again, with a haunting familiarity, and icy cold adrenaline flooded Dean's body as he saw the surface of the desert moving like a low wave in the water from something underneath the salty crust. Then the crystalline sheath cracked, and a featureless head appeared with pincers snapping.
Boggs!
Dean knelt to fire the shotgun across the swarm. As the compacted salt broke apart, and out rushed a carpet of millipedes, flowing their way like a river of death. A dozen millipedes were blown away from the barrage of flechette rounds, but the rest just kept coming, as unstoppable as the dawn around them. The muties had to have been following the wag since it left the redoubt. Either that, or the desert was infested with them. Bad news either way.
Get the wag moving!
Ryan squinted against the wash of daylight behind the bugs, even while triggering his softly chugging Sig Sauer. Fire blast. The damn things couldn't have chosen a better time to attack. With the light in their eyes, it was triple hard to aim, and once the insects were among the companions, they would be reduced to scraps in a few minutes. The closest to the cab, Christy scrambled inside the wag and started to crank the engine. Meanwhile, the rest of the companions threw down a wall of lead, salt dust mixing with black blood as the insects died, but kept on coming nonetheless, as mindless as a storm. Rushing to the back of the wag, Ryan grabbed a Molotov from the wooden box, lit the rag fuse, and smashed the bomb directly in front of the bugs, the pool of fire momentarily slowing their advance. Shoving the Uzi into Mildred's hands, JB frantically rummaged in his munitions bag and pulled out an Implo Gren. Setting the release, he pulled the ring and threw the Gren hard toward the bugs clustered around the Molotov puddle. The millipede scattered momentarily as the sphere hit and bounced a few times to finally land behind the insects.
Missed!
Like hell I did.
JB grabbed the canvas side of the wag and braced himself.
Hold on!
Suddenly, there was a brilliant flash of searing blue light. As the Predoc device created a microsecond well of supercondensed gravity. Then the field was gone, with only a steaming hole to mark the spot. The implosion had aced only a handful of the bugs, but dozens more had been pulled backward from the vacuum of the reverse blast and were scrambling about madly in the smooth glass crater, totally confused. Precious time had been bought, with only a few of the muties still coming, pincers snapping. But more were heading their way again, with every tick of the clock.
Use another one!
Dean hammered the bugs with his Browning.
Hell, use them all!
Too close! Get off the ground!
Ryan scrambled backward into the rear of the wag, his blaster throwing hot lead. A millipede squealed as a score of legs were ripped off its belly by the 9mm slugs, but it continued to move, bleeding badly but very much alive. Throwing a couple more Molotovs into the fire of the first one to spread the blaze, Doc and Jack then shoved Mildred into the wag and jumped in after her, with Dean close behind. Taking back the exhausted Uzi from the furious physician, JB fed it a fresh magazine from his munitions bag and stitched a line across the foremost wave of bugs. But exactly as before in the redoubt, the wounded kept coming until they died. The wag vibrated, the exhaust pipe belching smoke, as Christy fought to get the stubborn diesel to turn over. What could be wrong with the thing? Hellfire, it was still warm from before, power read okay on the dashboard, and she knew there was plenty of fuel. Maybe the mix was too rich? Pumping the gas pedal and pulling the choke all the way out instead of in, Christy hit the starter, and the engine briefly sputtered, paused as if stalling, then surged into life. Moments later, the millipedes rushed underneath the wag, biting at the tires, the dead scorpion, and the dropped wrapper from an unconsumed MRE pack. Several started to crawl up the sides of the wag, and Christy used her Smith & Wesson to blow off a twitching head that appeared at the open passenger side window.
Come on, get this heat moving!
The noise of the bugs was getting deafeningly loud. He wasn't sure the woman had heard him when the wag started rolling forward, the bugs cracking like popcorn beneath the wide tires. But by now, the millipedes were swarming over the vehicle, the companions firing in every direction. Barely reloading in time, Dean fired as a millipede crawled into view around the side of the awning. Headless, the bug stayed on the material, pumping blood from its neck, until Mildred kicked the legs loose and it fell away.
Oh, son of a bitch, little bastards!
Holding his bare sword in a tight grip, Doc dropped the hammer on the Lama as he spotted a shape moving on top of the canvas sheet covering the rear of the wag. A patch of material the size of a fist was torn away, and the corpse fell away, but another took its place.
Haste is our salvation, madam.
The scholar yanked back the big hammer on his weapon, searching for a clear target. A movement on the floor almost made the man shoot, until he realized it was an implogren that had fallen out of JB's munitions bag. The thought of what would have happened if he had shot the Predark bomb made his blood run cold. That had been a close call. Too close. Throwing the engine into high gear, Christie tried to build some speed as she gamely fought to maintain control of the shuddering wag across the uneven ground. Every loose item in the vehicle was shaking and jumping, and as the wag went through a jagged ravine, a fuel can went over the tailgate, followed by a blanket and a shovel. Holding on for dear life, the companions tried to keep fighting, but the gyrations were making it impossible to stay on their feet, much less hit what they were aiming at. Unfortunately, the bouncing and crashing seemed to have no effect on the multi-legged bugs. JB dropped a magazine for the Uzi.
Go slower!
No, faster!
Mother Gaia!
The wag slammed down and then brutally up again, tilting so far to the right that it almost flipped over sideways before violently righting itself. With the jolt, bugs and people went tumbling about. Then, with a ripping sound, the ropes holding the big water barrel tore apart, and it crashed to the floor. The lid popped off, and out gushed the nuke water, washing away ammo clips, MRE packs, spent brass, and a couple of dead bugs. One large millipede stubbornly stuck to the corrugated floor until Jack shoved his blaster between the dripping wet pinchers and blew out the rear of its ugly head. Nearly slipping on the wet metal floor, Ryan couldn't understand where the bugs kept coming from. The main swarm was far behind, which only left... Fire blast. He should have realized that sooner. He must have been dizzy from that earlier knock to the head. Stumbling across the jumbled supplies, Ryan found the wooden box of Molotovs and stuffed two into his shirt. He wanted more, but that was all he could carry. Holding on to the ribs that supported the awning, he made it to the front of the wag and slashed open the side of the canvas with a stroke of his panga.
Slow down when I tell you!
I'll be ready!
Both of Christie's hands were white from their death grip on the shaking steering wheel. Her blaster was in its holster, even though a millipede clinging to the outside of the driver's side gave her an unobstructed view of the grinding fangs in its segmented mouth. If she removed a hand from the wheel to shoot it, the wag would crash at its current speed, so she could do nothing but pray that the glass was strong enough for a little while longer. Holstering his blaster, Ryan held onto the rib while he used a butane lighter to ignite the rag fuse.
Now!
Ryan threw the bottle forward. Not daring to use the brakes, Christie took her foot off the gas and downshifted to try to control the deceleration. Immediately, the wag sped forward, and the Molotov hit the hard desert salt to explode into a pool of fire. Seconds later, the slowing wag drove through the middle of the flames, letting them play across the bottom of the chassis. A rain of burning bugs fell to the ground in their wake. As Ryan threw the next bottle, Jack passed him another Molotov, and the companions did it again and again. There was only silence from below. Both of JB's legs were splayed as he rocked to the motion of the lolling wag. At the lower speeds, the armorer had no trouble staying on his feet.
Should be clear by now.
Oh, we're not quite done yet.
Ryan grabbed hold of the tubular steel frame supporting the side view mirror and swung into the cab to land on the seat near Christie. With both hands still tight on the wheel, the redhead leaned far back and Ryan fired the Sig Sauer as the last millipede was blown away.
Now it's finished.
Ryan brushed the ejected brass and glass pebbles off her clothing.
You okay?
I've been better.
Christie dropped the speed of the wag even more. The gauges were still reading hot, and she could only hope the engine hadn't been damaged in the firefight. Tick by tick, the seconds slowly passed until the companions were a mile away from the battle zone, and they started to relax when a strong stink filled the wag. Ryan sniffed the rank cab air.
It's coming from under the hood.
Even with the windows open, it smelled like a roasting boot in there. Christie furrowed her brow in concern.
Could be an aced bug frying on the manifold. Should we stop and check?
No, keep going. The farther we get from those bugs, the better.
Steering around a small crater in the salt, Christie started to agree when the engine went completely silent and every gauge in the dashboard swung their needles high into the red danger zone. Throwing the gear shift into neutral, Christie quickly killed the ignition and let the wag coast along until braking to a full stop in the lee of a small dune.
Get sharp, people! Those things could be hot on our ass!
Climbing down from the cab, he checked the clip in his blaster. Four rounds remained, and he had two more loaded clips. Wearily, the rest of the companions climbed off the big vehicle and spread out behind it with their blasters at the ready. However, they knew there were no more Molotovs, and only 3 Implogrens remained. A couple had been lost in the tumultuous flight through the salt flats, and their ammo reserves were low. If the bugs returned, the Implogrens were the first line of defense, then blasters, and after that, they would be reduced to knives and running. After checking under the chassis for any unwanted passengers, Ryan, Christy, and JB went to the front of the WAG, and Ryan flipped up the hood with the others covering him in case a bug was waiting inside. But the engine was clean of insects, only some scattered bits of fibrous black material and thick streamers of oily smoke. JB lifted a piece for inspection, then quickly dropped it and blew on his singed fingers.
Burned through a fan belt. 2 of them, in fact. Look down there.
Leaning on the nuke battery, Ryan could see the damage and agreed it wasn't from the Molotovs. Just old belts that shredded under the strain.
It must have been running hot before the bugs appeared. This WAG is dead.
Can we fix it? Cobble something together with our belts or rope or something?
The lack of sleep was wearing on Ryan's nerves. He felt constantly angry, and the throbbing of the gash on his forehead was affecting his judgment.
Hell, I don't know. All our bootlaces tied together wouldn't take the strain. We could buckle some belts together, but they wouldn't fit. Too wide.
And what rope we have is probably too thick. We could loosen the weave, but that could take a hell of a lot of time.
And the longer we sit still, the closer they get.
Well, we're sure as hell not gonna walk 600 miles.
We just might have to.
Maybe not. Now, it could just be this heat, but I got a crazy idea.
JB tilted back his fedora.
Might work, might not. But I'll need a really sharp blade, the best we got.
Mildred, bring a scalpel.
To fix a WAG? What are you planning to do?
Christy stepped back to give the others some more space to work.
JB has a plan.
Reaching into her satchel, Mildred pulled out a small canvas bundle. The scalpel was really only a box cutter blade from a high school art department, but it was the sharpest, thinnest blade they owned.
Whatever you're planning to do with the WAG is going to ruin the edge on this thing.
She passed over the blade. Even though the blade was segmented, every portion was precious.
Can't be helped, Millie.
JB started to loosen a retaining bolt with a big crescent wrench. After a few moments, Mildred could see what he was planning to do, and bent over the engine to lend a hand where she could, her slim fingers reaching deeper into the complex machine, easier than his muscular hands could. Ryan moved away so he wouldn't block their light. The dune was throwing a much-needed shadow across the hot vehicle, cutting the harsh sunlight to a tolerable level.
Okay, it looks like we're not going anywhere for a while, so we better get hard in case they come back. We're gonna need a lookout, and you're the lightest, Dean. So up you go, son.
Check!
Grabbing hold of the exposed ribs of the tattered awning, Dean pulled himself onto the roof of the WAG. Balanced precariously on the riddled canvas, the boy shaded his face with a hand to try to see into the eastern light if the bugs were still in pursuit.
No sign of them.
Yet.
Doc removed his sword from its ebony stick and plunged the steel into the salty ground nearby for fast access. With a breeze spreading his frock coat like dark wings, the scholar expertly purged the spent chambers of his Lama and started the laborious process of reloading the black powder weapon. 3 chambers were still charged, but Doc never liked to have such a thin defense between himself and the world. Time and time again, the universe had proved it wasn't on his side, and Doc never planned on giving it an even break.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.